Chapter 55. 7 of the 11 rent girls had left the safe house to see if they had families they could go back to. 6 had come back, weeping. Some were now widows. Others were simply rejected by their fathers and boyfriends and husbands, who could see only whores and disgrace. Caldrosa's courage failed her. She never left the safe house. For some reason, she'd been able to face death. She'd emasculated Burl Lagar and watched him bleed to death, tied to her bed, screaming into a gag. Then she'd moved the body, put fresh sheets on the bed, and welcomed in another Caladoran soldier. He was a young man who'd always had sex first, and afterward was half-hearted in the beatings and the invocation. He always seemed disgusted with himself. She asked,
"Why do you do it? You don't like hurting me, I know you don't."
He couldn't look her in the eye.
"You don't know what it's like," he said. "They have spies everywhere. Your own family will turn on you if you make the wrong joke. He knows. But why beat up whores?"
"It's not just whores. It's everyone. It's the suffering we need, for the strangers."
"What do you mean, what strangers?"
But he wouldn't say any more. A moment later, he stared at the bedsheets. Blood in the mattress was soaking through the fresh sheet. Caldrosa stabbed him in the eye. The whole time, even when he came after her, bleeding, roaring, furious, she'd never been afraid. Facing Toman, though, that was too much. They'd fought bitterly before she left for Mama Kay's. He would have forcibly restrained her, except that he'd been beaten so severely he couldn't get out of bed. Toman had always been jealous. No, Caldrosa couldn't face him. She'd leave with the others and go to the rebel camp. She didn't know what she'd do there. They were inland and nowhere near a river, so jobs as a captain would likely be scarce. In fact, if she couldn't obtain clothes that covered her up more, honest labor of any kind would be scarce. Still, after Caladorans, being a rent girl for Cenarians might not be too bad. There was a knock on the door, and all the girls tensed. It wasn't the signal knock. No one moved. Daedra picked up a poker from the fireplace. The knock sounded again.
"Please," a man's voice said. "I mean no harm. I'm unarmed. Please let me in."
Caldrosa's heart leapt into her throat. She went to the door in a fog.
"What are you doing?" Daedra whispered.
Caldrosa opened the peep window. And there he was. Toman saw her and his face lit up.
"You're alive! Oh, gods, Caldrosa, I thought you might be dead! What's wrong? Let me in!"
The latch seemed to lift itself. Caldrosa was helpless. The door burst open, and Toman swept her into his arms.
"Oh, Callie," he said, still delirious with joy. Toman had always been a little slow. "I didn't know if..."
He only noticed the other women gathered around the room then. Their expressions, either joy or jealousy. Though he was hugging her and she couldn't see his face, Caldrosa knew that he must be blinking stupidly at the sight of so many beautiful, exotic women all at the same time, and all of them scarcely wearing anything. Even Daedra's virginal dress breathed sensuality. His hug was slowly softening, and Caldrosa was limp in his arms. Toman stepped back and looked at her. His hands flopped off her shoulders like a fish onto the deck, spastically. It really was a beautiful costume. Caldrosa had always hated her skinny figure. She thought she looked like a boy. Wearing this, she didn't feel scrawny or boyish. She felt trim, nubile. The open-fronted shirt not only showed that she was tanned to the waist, but also conspired to give her cleavage and expose half of each breast. The scandalous trousers fit like a glove. In short, It was exactly the kind of thing Toman would have loved to see Caldrosa wearing in their home, for the brief interludes that extended between when she surprised him with it and when he caught her after chasing her around the house. But this wasn't their home. And these clothes weren't for Toman. His eyes filled with grief. He looked away. The girls went very quiet. After an aching moment, he said, "You're beautiful." He choked, and tears cascaded down his face.
"Toman!"
She was crying too, trying to cover herself with her arms. It was a bitter irony. She was trying to cover herself from her husband's eyes when she had flaunted herself for strangers she despised.
"How many have you been with?"
he asked, his voice cracking.
"They would have killed you."
"So now I'm not man enough," he snapped.
He wasn't crying now. He'd always been brave, fierce. It was one of the things she loved about him. He would have died to save her from this. He'd never realized he would have died. And then she'd have had to do this anyway.
"They hurt me," she said.
"How many?"
His voice was hard, brittle.
"I don't know."
Part of her knew that he was like a dog crazed with pain, snapping at its master. But the disgust on his face was too much. She was disgusting. She surrendered to the deadness and despair.
"A lot. 9 or 10 a day."
His face twisted, and he turned away.
"Toman, don't leave me, please."
He stopped, but he didn't turn. Then he walked out. As the door swung gently shut, she began keening. The other girls went to her, their hearts broken anew as her grief mirrored theirs. Knowing she would not be comforted, they went to her because she had no one else who would. And neither did they.